Imagine you buy a property, the numbers on your spreadsheet are, well, they're absolutely perfect.
Yeah, they always look great on paper, right?
Exactly. You've secured a fantastic tenant, the neighborhood is quiet, and everything seems primed for steady, reliable income. Then, like a month later, the local city council holds this random Tuesday night vote that makes your entire business model completely illegal.
Oh, yeah. That happens way more than people think.
Right. And suddenly, your cash flowing asset just becomes a massive financial anchor. So, welcome to another deep dive. Today, we're focusing on real estate.
It's such a huge topic.
It really is. And there is this immense, I mean, almost primal comfort in buying physical property. It's a tangible asset. It just sits there feeling
You
secure.
can actually touch it.
Right. And historically, it's seen as the steady, inevitable way to build wealth. But as that city council scenario shows, unmanaged risk can turn a golden opportunity into an incredibly costly mistake. And that's true whether you are investing a few thousand dollars or, scaling a massive portfolio.
It really is the ultimate double-edged sword. I mean, investors look at a physical brick-and-mortar building and they kind of confuse that physical permanence with financial safety.
Oh, wow. That's a great way to put it.
Yeah, because the walls and the roof, they don't actually protect you from the invisible market forces or the complex financial mechanisms or, the local politics swirling around it.
And that is exactly our mission for this deep dive. We are breaking down a highly comprehensive source text titled Navigating and Mitigating Real Estate Investment Risks, which pulls in some really vital insights from the Osil Gamma Investment Platform.
It's a fantastic breakdown of the space.
Okay, let's unpack this. Here is our roadmap for today. We are going to explore the specific traps hiding in the real estate market, break down the underlying mechanics of the hidden legal and financial tripwires that just catch investors completely off guard.
Right.
And finally, we want to arm you with the ultimate blueprint for mitigating these risks before and, well, long after you buy.
Which is the crucial element here. The source makes it very clear that you cannot protect your capital until you understand the underlying mechanisms of what is actually threatening it.
You have to know what you're up against.
Exactly. You have to map the minefield before you take a step.
So let's look at the terrain. The source outlines a framework of what we can call the big five foundational risks. And the heaviest macro threat hovering over all of them is economic or market risk.
The big one.
Yeah, this is the broad strokes economic weather, right? So recessions and inflation.
Precisely. And it's really important to understand how it affects the asset. Market risk dictates the ceiling of your property's value.
Okay, how so?
Well, think about inflation. When the cost of groceries and gas spikes, the everyday purchasing power of your prospective tenants just drops. I mean, they literally have less disposable income.
Right, they can only spend so much on housing.
Exactly. That effectively caps how much rent you can realistically charge, regardless of how nice your property is. Or, if a recession hits and unemployment rises, the pool of qualified buyers shrinks.
Meaning your property's resale potential takes a direct hit.
Yes, you are entirely tethered to the economic tide.
And if that tide goes out, you face another foundational trap, which is vacancy risk. Now, obviously, an empty property means you aren't collecting rent this month.
Right, which hurts.
Yeah, but the source notes the damage goes way beyond just a temporary dip in cash flow.
It really does. Because a vacancy isn't just a missed rent check. It alters your entire financial leverage.
Wow, really?
Yeah, if your financial model relies on that tenant's check to clear the mortgage, a vacancy means you are suddenly pulling from your own personal reserves.
Which nobody wants to do.
No, but the second order effect is that it damages your trailing 12-month income. So if you go to a bank to secure a loan for your next property, they look at that vacancy period, your debt-to-income ratio looks terrible, and you are basically frozen out of scaling your portfolio.
That is so rough. So let's say the macro economy is fine and your tenant is paying rent on time. The spreadsheet looks perfect.
Right.
But, physical buildings don't live on spreadsheets. They live in the real world where, pipes freeze and foundations crack. That is operational risk.
Yeah, operational risk is basically the friction of reality. It's the HVAC unit dying during a massive heat wave, or a property management company failing to screen a really destructive tenant.
The day-to-day nightmares.
Pretty much. Even with meticulous planning, these sudden capital requirements can completely hollow out your operating cash flow.
Yeah.
It is just the inescapable cost of maintaining a physical asset.
But physical buildings also exist in neighborhoods, which introduces location risk. I mean, everyone knows the cliche location, location, location.
Sure.
But the trap here is assuming a location is static.
What's fascinating here is how incredibly interconnected these risks are. They do not exist in silos. Location risk is often just the delayed echo of economic risk.
Okay, give me an example of how that actually plays out in the real world.
Sure. So imagine a major local employer, say, a huge manufacturing plant shuts down its operations.
Okay, so that's an economic risk.
Right. But the immediate ripple effect is a location risk. The neighborhood loses its primary economic engine. 3 years later, the local school district loses its funding because the local tax base has just completely evaporated.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about the schools.
Yeah. And then crime rates might trend upward as unemployment sets in.
Yeah.
You aren't just buying a house, you know. You're buying a share of the local microeconomy.
So when that factory closes, it immediately triggers a vacancy risk because workers move away to find jobs.
Exactly. Which then triggers a localized market risk, driving property values into the ground. A single domino falls and the rest just collapse right along with it.
It's a terrifying chain reaction. Which brings us to the last of the big five liquidity risk. I always think of liquidity risk like taking your life savings and locking it inside a really heavy steel vault.
That's good visual.
Right. The money is very safe in there. But if you suddenly get a massive emergency medical bill, you can't just chip off a piece of the steel vault to hand to the hospital.
No, you have to sell the entire vault.
Exactly. And if the market is slow, you are going to have a very hard time finding a buyer for a 2-ton steel box.
And what happens when you're forced to sell that vault in a panic? You take a massive discount.
Because real estate is inherently illiquid.
Absolutely. It takes months to sell a property under normal conditions. If you find yourself in a situation where you need capital immediately, you are trapped into a fire sale.
You just lose so much leverage.
You are actively sacrificing your accumulated equity simply for the speed of the transaction. You take a huge loss purely because you needed the cash today.
Since liquidity and operational risks ultimately just drain your wallet, it's critical we zoom in on the specific financial mechanics that can quietly destroy a property's return on investment. The text refers to these as the financial reality checks.
Because financial drawbacks are rarely these loud, explosive events. They're usually quiet leaks in the hull of your investment, slowly taking on water until the asset is just completely submerged.
So true. The first leak, the source points out, is interest rate fluctuations. If an investor is using a variable rate mortgage, they are basically making a massive, completely unhedged bet on the global bond market.
Which is incredibly risky.
Right. But the source also points out that rising interest rates hurt you even if your own mortgage rate is locked in.
Yeah, this is a mechanism so many investors just overlook entirely. When the central bank raises interest rates, a prospective buyer's monthly mortgage payment goes up for the exact same loan amount.
Right, borrowing that's more expensive.
So when you eventually want to sell your property, fewer people can qualify to buy it. The buyer pool shrinks, demand drops, and therefore your property's resale value is suppressed.
That makes total sense.
Even if your personal financing is totally secure, the broader cost of borrowing dictates your exit strategy.
Then we have unexpected capital expenditure. We touched on this with operational risk, but the financial trap here is really about what gets missed during the initial purchase.
Oh, the fixer-upper trap.
Yes. An investor buys a fixer-upper, assuming it just needs cosmetic work, right? Like maybe a fresh coat of paint and some new floors.
And then 6 months later, they discover the foundation is compromised or the electrical grid is a massive fire hazard.
Which requires an immediate, massive infusion of cash, completely destroying whatever return on investment they modeled on that initial spreadsheet.
Yeah, the math just goes right out the window.
And that leads to the biggest financial trap of all, Teresian, over-leveraging, carrying way too much debt. But I actually have to push back here.
Sid, go ahead.
If real estate is supposed to be this steady, appreciating asset, why do so many smart, capable investors fall into the trap of over-leveraging? I mean, why do they borrow to the absolute hilt if it's so dangerous?
It almost always comes down to human psychology during a bull market. As we noted, these financial drawbacks are hidden dangers. When property values are climbing, say, 10% a year and rents are high, investors assume those conditions represent a permanent plateau. Because their rental income easily covers their high debt payments today, they aggressively borrow against their equity to buy even more properties.
They start assuming the weather will always be sunny.
Exactly. What they fail to do is calculate their true break-even point under worst-case scenarios.
They don't run the bad numbers.
No, they never ask the vital question, what is my actual time to profitability if the rent drops by 20% or if the property sits vacant for 4 months? They just don't stress test the math.
So when the market eventually turns, and it always does, that heavy debt load becomes an anchor they can no longer carry.
Spot on.
Here's where it gets really interesting. Because financial risks aren't just caused by market forces or, you know, bad math. Sometimes your investment model is destroyed by the stroke of a local politician's pen.
The human element.
Exactly. We are moving from the math of investing to the laws that govern it, the red tape and regulation maze.
And the regulatory landscape is where a lot of seasoned investors get completely blindsided because they focus entirely on the physical building and their spreadsheet, and they completely ignore the municipal context.
Let's talk about the scenario I mentioned at the start of the deep dive, local bylaws. You buy a property specifically to run it as a highly profitable short-term rental. The math is incredible.
Oh, I know where this is going.
Yep. And then the municipal government passes a new zoning bylaw completely banning short-term rentals in that specific neighborhood.
And your entire business model is wiped out literally overnight. Or consider a scenario where you purchase a large single-family home with the intent to execute a multi-unit conversion, you know, tuning it into a triplex to maximize your rental yield.
Right, a very common strategy.
Very common. But sudden zoning changes can make that conversion totally illegal. You are left holding an asset that can no longer perform the function you actually bought it for, meaning your projected ROI is zero.
The source also brings up rent control legislation and changing tax policies. And I want to be super clear here. We aren't talking about the politics or the ethics behind these laws.
Right. We're just looking at the math.
Exactly. We're looking at them strictly as variables in an investor's equation. If laws cap how much you can raise the rent, your income potential is suddenly slashed.
That is the essential analytical lens. Regardless of the societal intentions behind rent control or capital gains tax alterations, for the investor, they represent a fundamental shift in the bottom line.
It just changes the math.
It changes the entire mathematical equation of the asset. If property taxes jump by 30% or rental income is capped by legislation, the profitability of the asset decreases, period. It requires strict legal risk management to navigate, pure and simple.
And the red tape doesn't just stop at sweeping legislation. Even the mundane process of just getting things done carries massive legal risk. Take permitting issues.
Oh, permits are a nightmare.
Right. Say you buy a property that needs a complete gut renovation. You apply for the permits, expecting to start construction in maybe 2 weeks. But the city delays your variance approval for 6 months. What happens?
Well, for 6 months, you are paying the mortgage, you are paying the property taxes, and you are paying the insurance, all while generating absolutely zero income.
Just burning cash.
Exactly. Those are your holding costs, and they spiral out of control very quickly. A permitting delay doesn't just waste time. It actively bleeds your capital.
It's so frustrating.
It reinforces the fact that you aren't just buying a building. You are buying into a local municipality's specific set of rules, inefficiencies, and timelines.
Okay, so we've mapped the minefield, we've looked at the foundational traps, the quiet financial leaks, and the regulatory roadblocks. It honestly sounds incredibly intimidating.
It can be.
But the source material does provide a comprehensive 7-step defense strategy. How do you actually build armor against all of this?
The strategies can really be broken down into 2 distinct phases of proactive management. The first phase is what we might call building the fortress, the structural protections you put in place before and during the actual acquisition.
Okay, let's look at the fortress. The absolute bedrock here is thorough due diligence. This directly counters that location risk we talked about earlier.
Right.
It's not just about hiring a home inspector to check the roof. It's investigating the long-term growth trends of the surrounding area. Like, are businesses actually moving in? What are the infrastructure plans for the next decade?
Yes. And the next brick in that fortress is using conservative financial assumptions. When you build your financial model, you have to prioritize sustainability over optimism.
So assume things will go wrong.
Exactly. You actively stress test your numbers. You build in the assumption that inflation will drive up your maintenance costs. You factor in a realistic vacancy period, say, assuming the property will be empty for 1 month out of every 12.
And if the numbers still work, you're good.
Right. If the investment still generates a viable return with those really conservative metrics, it's a structurally sound bet.
And to survive the operational friction of reality, you need healthy cash reserves. I mean, when a pipe bursts at 2 a.m. on a Sunday, you do not want to be putting a $10,000 emergency repair on a high-interest credit card.
That is a disaster waiting to happen.
You need a dedicated liquid cash buffer specifically for that asset.
Absolutely. And finally, to protect the fortress from macroeconomic storms, securing fixed-rate financing is just paramount.
Which basically acts as an insurance policy against those interest rate fluctuations we cover.
Exactly. When you secure a fixed rate, you are paying a slight premium up front to insure your largest monthly expense. Mm. The mortgage never, ever changes.
Right. It locks it in.
It creates baseline payment stability, vastly improving your ability to forecast cash flow and, you know, weather a recession without defaulting.
So the fortress is built, but the second phase of the strategy is manning the walls, the active, ongoing management of the investment. The source emphasizes diversification here. Mm. Like, don't put all your capital into three houses on the exact same street.
Because if a localized location risk hits that street, your entire portfolio is totally compromised.
Let's spread it out.
Yes. You can diversify by utilizing REITs, real estate investment trusts, or crowdfunding platforms to spread your capital across different asset classes, like commercial or industrial properties, and across entirely different geographic regions.
Manning the walls also means working with reliable tenants and managers. Vetting a property manager is just as important as vetting the property itself, right?
Oh, arguably more important. A highly competent manager lowers tenant turnover, ensures preventative maintenance is handled before it becomes an actual crisis, and acts as a buffer between you and the operational friction.
And you must continually monitor economic and regulatory trends. Keep your ear to the ground regarding local zoning updates, inflation reports, and shifts in housing laws.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, this is where specialized platforms provide a massive advantage.
Right.
The source text highlights the OSOL Gamma platform as a prime example of this continuous monitoring. They actively track market signals, investment analytics, and regulatory shifts specifically across the MENA region, so the Middle East and North Africa.
That's incredibly useful.
It is. What a platform like OSOL Gamma proves is that successful investing isn't about gazing into a crystal ball to perfectly predict the future. It is about proactive adaptation.
Staying ahead of the curve.
Exactly. It is about utilizing data to make contingency moves before the negative impacts actually hit your portfolio.
So you do all this. You build a fortress. You run the conservative math, secure the fixed rate loan, buy the property in a diversified region, and you hire a stellar property manager.
Yeah.
You're done, right? You just wait for the rent checks to clear.
Not even close.
So what does this all mean? Do investors just assume the hard work ends once the ink dries on the contract? Because the source material heavily stresses that the post-purchase journey requires the exact same level of intensity. Like, coasting is just a myth.
It is a massive vulnerability. The environment around your property is constantly shifting, so your management strategy has to be continuous.
Makes sense.
Let's look at keeping insurance updated. As your property appreciates in value over a decade, or if you change the use of the property, say, adding a basement apartment, your risk profile fundamentally evolves.
Right. And if you don't update your coverage to match the new value or the new liability, a fire could leave you catastrophically underinsured.
Exactly.
You thought you were protected, but you were coasting on really outdated metrics.
You also have to physically verify the health of the asset through scheduled inspections and maintenance. Routine checks are the mechanism for preventing those massive, unexpected capital expenditures.
It's the difference between finding a small leak around a chimney flashing during an annual inspection, which costs, what, a few $100s to patch?
Usually.
Versus coasting for 3 years and finding out the drywall inside the walls is completely covered in black mold and the structural framing has rotted away.
Yeah.
That costs tens of thousands.
Easily. But the text emphasizes that modern long-term management isn't just physical. It's increasingly digital. The modern investor must monitor performance digitally.
Right, leveraging digital dashboards, utilizing transparent platforms that offer you clear performance metrics, yield tracking, compliance monitoring, and streamlined exit options if you need to liquidate.
And the frontier of this digital management is the integration of smart contracts and blockchain technology.
Let's make sure we clarify that because, you know, blockchain and smart contracts can sound like heavy tech jargon.
It can be confusing.
Think of a smart contract like a digital vending machine. You don't need a cashier. If you put the money in, the machine automatically drops the soda.
I love that analogy.
Thanks. In real estate, if a tenant's rent hits the designated digital wallet, The digital code to unlock the front door or the renewal of the lease is automatically executed by the code. There's no middleman, no arguing over whether the check is in the mail. It just executes based on the immutably recorded terms.
This raises an important question about the fundamental evolution of how investors interact with their portfolios today.
How so?
Well, 10 years ago, real estate management meant looking at a paper bank statement once a month and just hoping the property manager called if something broke.
Oh, are you reactive?
Now, relying on digital reporting tools, blockchain verification, and transparent data platforms means an investor is never flying blind. You have real-time data. It shifts the investor from being a passive recipient of whatever the market dictates into an active, informed manager of their own wealth. You maintain absolute control over the journey.
And that brings us to the ultimate takeaway. Whether you are prepping to close on your very first starter home, or you are deeply curious about the mechanics of how generational wealth is maintained in the real world, the core lesson here is that a real estate risk management plan isn't about being terrified of the market.
Not at all.
It is about understanding the mechanisms of risk to balance it against the reward. It is about giving yourself the clarity to navigate highly unpredictable financial markets with genuine confidence. You meticulously map the traps so you don't step in them.
It is the definitive transition from hoping for a good return to actually engineering a secure one.
I want to leave you with a final thought to mull over, building on what we just discussed.
Yeah.
The source touched on using blockchain records and smart contracts to add security and enforceability to transactions.
Mm-hmm.
Think about how difficult and slow it is to buy or sell a physical property right now. The endless paperwork, the title searches, the weeks of waiting in escrow. But if blockchain eventually allows for perfectly transparent, instantaneous, and legally enforceable records of ownership, could we one day see physical real estate tokenized and traded as quickly and easily as clicking a button to buy a stock?
That would change everything.
It really would. And if you can sell a fraction of your property instantly on a digital exchange, does that effectively eliminate the dreaded liquidity risk entirely? Just something to think about the next time you're looking at the housing market. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.